This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Finding Hope on the EWN Radio Network with Counselor Mandy Epley, where you will learn practical tools for navigating your losses and hear inspiring real-life stories from courageous people who have moved through their losses and found hope. And now, your host, Counselor Mandy.
Welcome to Finding Hope. My name is Mandy Bird, formerly Mandy Epley. I'm beginning to use Bird, which has been really an exciting thing in my life. And I want to welcome you to Finding Hope. I'm so excited about our show today. We have a really incredible leader and healer in the world, Ellen Siegel. Hey, Ellen.
Hi. So great to be here.
I'm glad you're with us today. And as always, I love giving a shout out to my dear friend and producer of Finding Hope, Cindy Bolero. Hey, Cindy.
Hey there.
So, Cindy, will you do the honors and introduce our guest today?
I am happy to. Ellen Siegel is a psychotherapist, a hypnotherapist, a consultant, and life coach that guides people to experience enduring satisfaction lying beneath their troubles. Her book, Be Happy No Matter What, 5 Steps to Inner Freedom, offers gentle self-healing, freeing the reader to discover beauty within themselves and their life. She gives uplifting ways of looking at situations many of us have felt awkward about when we were growing up. The outcome is seeing yourself in a positive light and really feeling good about that. She works with individuals and groups, providing a path of enjoyment in life while overcoming challenges, rejection, and the negative influences all around us. Welcome, Ellen, to our show.
Thank you so much.
Ellen, I love the work that you're doing, and the title of your book alone is so powerful, and one of the reasons why I wanted you to be on our show, Finding Hope. And with all of our guests, I begin with that question to share with our listening friends. I think it's such a powerful question because it puts into context for all of us that we all have deep loss. We all have heartbreak and struggles, how human it is to have grief in our lives, and then to speak about how to move through our grief and what we can do with our grief to give back, to celebrate, to serve. So that question is, if you would share with us, what has been one of the great heartbreaks in your life, and how did that lead you into your calling?
It's so wonderful to have an opportunity to revisit this, because this continues, this experience that I'm going to share continues and on to teach me and actually to love me.
Mm.
I get to feel love through it. My early growing up, I don't know whether I was just blessed or in a wonderful childhood mentality that we had a lot of fun in our family. It was my dad, my mom, and me, and I have a sister 6 years younger than me. It was a lot of laughter. There was healthy boundaries. Knew my father, my parents meant business when we were directed to do certain things for safety. But we had lots of fun, lots of laughs, felt loved by these parents who, in their way, wanted us to know that they chose to have vacations with us, that they had a lot of fun. And my father was a mentor to me through the years. And Mom and I didn't get along so well. I think we probably, the old-fashioned mental health term was personality clash. And that you don't find that in the literature much. So Dad, sure, I had him up on a pedestal, but he was pretty good in my eyes. And so had a lot of fun, and I was the oldest child, and so I had lots of privileges in that I got taken around to different places, and until my baby sister came along, and then they had to deal with, you know, two kids. So all through high school, I was the president of a club, and actually it was the home ec club in those days, and we did events for the school, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. And Dad was, he was a leader in his field of business insurance, and I don't know, I look back, and he was a mentor to me. And when I was a senior and running this club, our principal died suddenly, and we were going to have a father-daughter brunch, and I said to my dad, I was so broken up, I loved Mr. Tucker, and I said to my dad, you know what, I'm canceling the brunch. And Dad sat down with me, and he said, well, I don't know about that. He said, do you think Mr. Tucker would want you to do that? And I mean, all I remember was I was hysterical crying. And so he said, why don't you have the brunch and make it in his honor? And so, and please don't mind if I get choked up, okay? So my dad was teaching me how to deal with death. Right? And it was beautiful. And I just sort of plunged into a deeper meaning. So that was the end of my senior year in high school. And then my freshman year, so it's just a few months later, my dad died suddenly.
Oh, gosh.
And I'll tell you, I felt like my life, I hadn't noted until that point how much of a role he played in my life, and how much I, was like a fish to water, how much I lapped up his mentoring and his love and his caring and his tutelage and his guidance, because the feeling that I had was that everything that I had built my life on had disappeared. Well, I know now as an adult that's not true. However, whatever our relationship was, I mean, that was and my mother was only 42, my dad was only 47, my sister was 12, I was 18. And I felt that one of the things that was said about my father all along, because in those days, he was a type A personality, which keyed up, very active. And people said that he lived more in his 47 years than some people live in a full lifetime. And so I was beside myself, to say the least. I tried to stay in school and then ultimately dropped out. In a very bad way. I think I hung around the cemetery a lot. I was 18, so I was able to drive. And I really didn't share much of this with my mother. So to her, I appeared, you know, distraught, a rebellious teenager. And like I said, we didn't get along that well before. And so I remember my grandparents came to stay, and we never really, I mean, my mother would be crying in the bedroom, and I couldn't even go into her. I mean, we were like each one of us in pockets of grief. And in those days, I don't think she really knew about grief counseling or family counseling. And she might have been so beside herself, she was immobilized and was worried about caring for the family and everything. And for me, I think I cried for like 6 or 7 weeks straight. And then looking back, I couldn't cry again for 20 years after that.
Wow. Wow. That says so much about our culture and and how unsupported you felt as a young person. And really, I mean, we're so fortunate around the resources that are available these days, but still, that's why we're doing the show, Finding Hope. So many people feel so isolated in their grief. That's such a powerful thing that you just said.
Yeah, and here I went to social work school and certainly worked to help others. And today's social work school, they really didn't let you go past go unless you answered a particular question, which is, why do you think you've come to social work school? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it might say to help others, solve the world's problems and everything, but they never let you get past until you said to work myself out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the right school because it took me years to get back in touch with my feelings. It was so painful, so painful. And, you know, I just... And to this day, you know, I mean, yesterday was the anniversary of my father's birth. And so, I mean, you know, I spoke to my sister on the phone and, you know, I miss him. I miss him. And that's like, that was in 1967.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
So he's vivid in my mind. You know, then I went through a marriage, which was wonderful, but my grandfather walked me down the aisle. You know, it was like, you know, where's daddy? Where's daddy?
Yeah.
And trying to be helpful to my mom. And I didn't realize I was being codependent. I think she allowed me to be helpful because here she had a daughter who was grief stricken and she had more maturity than I did.
Mm-hmm.
And, but later on, she said, you know, I really needed to do some of those things myself. You know, like take the car in for service and, you know, concrete kinds of things. So,
What I think is so important, first, thank you for sharing your story in such a human and real, authentic way. And I think it's so valuable for all of us and for you, our listening friends, to hear Ellen's story and other guests on Finding Hope, because for me, you're modeling that we have profound losses in our lives, that we go on and we do successful things and we build lives and we have careers and children and families and pets and life moves forward.
Mm-hmm.
And you're modeling so profoundly how we have tragic occurrences in our lives and that we carry them with us. They don't leave us. They're not supposed to leave us. And the fact that you find yourself in tears all these years later, to me, is the exact reason why you're on Finding Hope. It's because it's dispelling the myth that we can get over it or supposed to get over it. I mean, as you said so beautifully, and we're going to learn more about your work in the next segment, that these experiences have continued to even, I mean, to inform you and even love you. So stay with us, friends. When we come back, we're going to learn more about Ellen's story and about her powerful work in the world. Stay with us. We'll be back.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
friends of eWomen Network, I want to share with you two cutting-edge and soul-stirring books by author and visionary Chris Saadi. Both are highly recommended by a host of spiritual teachers, such as Kate Sheehan Roach and Andrew Harvey. These books focus on the emergence of an evolutionary spiritual understanding, that is, the importance and the power of living authentically, freeing our authentic, unique self, and pursuing our calling from our authentic passion to serve freedom, peace, justice, and inclusion. These two books are Second Wave Spirituality and Prayers for Peace and Justice by Chris Saadi, S-A-A-D-E. Saadi is on Amazon.com and the Olive Branch Center.net.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Bird, and I want to say that I am so enjoying speaking with Ellen on this day. So, Ellen, before we went to break, you were sharing with us the profound impact, the loss of the sudden death of your father when you were 18. So tell us more about, as you went to social work school, tell us more about your journey, how you weren't able to cry again for 20 years, how you then opened up into your work.
Okay. So I just want to tell you something funny that's a
Please
little a bridge to that. And that is my dad in the early days, when I was thinking about, you know, what I wanted to do in my life. And I laugh because I feel like today I'm such a deep thinker and feel things so deeply. But as a kid, you know, it's like, oh, what am I going to do? My mother liked to entertain. So my father said, be a teacher. You know, you'll have vacations off. You'll always have a steady, listen to this. He was in insurance. He says, you'll always have a steady income in case, God forbid, something happens to your husband. So he's like preparing me all along. So I said, you know what, I think I'll go in for home economics. And I really loved home ec, and I was the president of my club, and we took great trips, and we handled the special events in the school and everything. So I went to college, and I'm at the end of my bachelor's program, and now I'm going to student teach. I went to student teach in my junior high in those days. And as soon as I saw how much math was involved in being a home ec teacher, you have to order all the ingredients for a year, do the budget and plan the money, and move students in and out 40 minutes. I said, oh, I'm not doing this. I knew immediately. So the head of the home ec department, you know what? You like family relations. Why don't you go for a master's that has to do with family? And so the reason I'm bringing this up is I really like the idea of following one's heart or intuition. And I can't say that in my early years I had much thought about this. And people today maybe or other people have thought to devote. I was like following like an energy. I never tried to continue in home ec. I never thought I should. I didn't feel bad that I was switching. It just was not I'm not doing that. Okay, let me go in this direction. And I followed some leads, and so I went to social work school. And in social work school, my consciousness was raised, so my intellect was brought now together with my feelings. And I had an opportunity, and I see what it is now, to apply my mind to I think it was in stages, become friends with myself, overcome self-judgment, appreciate things about myself, appreciate things that I didn't see in myself. So it was an enlightening personal experience. And I went to a school that it's so great. I look back now. I didn't consciously plan it. Their motto is conscious use of self.
Wow.
And that sort of went right along with my father.
in a way.
Yeah.
And it was an opportunity to, I don't know, I just sort of, I'm not going to say I fell into it, but I gravitated toward
yeah.
helping profession.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even in the home ec world, I mean, there's family relations, consumer sciences. I mean, it came out of that. It was just like
mm-hmm.
a natural flow. And so in my, this was another important thing. The first clients I was ready to see, I got to the first place in my training that you get 2 years of internship. I was sort of cowering behind a desk is the way I was
right.
very nervous.
Right.
My first client was going to come, and the head of the agency came in. It was a mental health clinic, and he was so gentle. He said, "Ellen," he said, "what are you doing back there?" I said, "Well, I'm waiting for, you know, my first client." So he says, "Oh, wait a minute." He says, "Let me ask you something. Did you ever talk to a person about a problem that they had, or did somebody ever come to talk to you about a problem?" So I perked up. I said, "Oh yeah, all the time." He says, "That's all you're going to do." And then he said something very important: trust your natural juices.
Oh yes, yes.
So,
wow.
And I really do believe that each one of us has an opportunity to get in touch with our calling, and it's not so easy when you're inundated in grief to be aware of signs and signals about what could be. And I have a teacher who always said that she built her message upon the mess of her life.
Mm, God, that's brilliant.
And she was from
yeah.
an abused family. You know, I mean, it was like,
I really see how early on in your life, and again, what your story is clearly stating what I profoundly believe and what my colleague Chris Saadi and I created in the model of heart-centered grief is how we do build our message through the mess in our lives, and that you early on had through your father and other mentors, including this mentor in graduate school, really encouraging you around trusting your heart,
mm-hmm.
trusting your authenticity, and allowing your authenticity to flow from you.
Mm-hmm. And the head of that home ec department hired me for that summer, right after graduation. She says, "I want you to teach our family relations class."
Oh,
and
wow.
I had only taken it once. I said, "Okay." I said, "That's, I'd love to do that. Give me the curriculum." And she said, "No." She says, "I want you to design a curriculum."
Wow. How
and that was, and there, I mean, I had taken that class. There was a teacher who existed who was teaching it, according to a textbook and everything. And so I got to do that for 14 years in summers and evenings. It was a community school, Queens College in New York. And boy, was that something. Boy,
how
that was
incredibly special.
It was spectacular. So from all this, and I want to say, you know, the title of this book that came through me, Be Happy No Matter What, it's not happy-go-lucky happy.
Right.
It's like to appreciate that underneath whatever we're faced with, that there's an opportunity, that it's waiting for us to have an enduring satisfaction in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that our lives, I think this came out of my experience. You know, it's hard to say. We're a product of all the different that happened to us and that we're involved in. But that the opportunity or the invitation to see ourselves as a unique masterpiece in life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and in the book, it's pretty detailed about, just consider. I love the idea of the term contemplate. could mm-hmm. just, you don't even have to use thought. You could just sit with an idea. And it's that, if like a masterpiece painting, say. So in a painting, you have things in the foreground, you have things in the background, you have dark shades, you might have bright colors, you might have sharp textures with like a palette knife, yet other parts might be smooth oils, and that our lives are like moving elements mm-hmm. in a masterpiece. And that if we could appreciate that grief, you know, I often say to clients when they can consider it, that if they saw their lives in a movie drama,
mm-hmm.
that their heart would go out to the main character, which
oh,
is them.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And that in the audience, they would have tears. And they would be able to appreciate the depth and the richness.
Mm, that's awesome. I mean, how helpful. Because that really ennobles, and why I'm so attracted to your work, is that you ennoble the experiences that you've had in your own life, and therefore you're able to ennoble the experience of your clients. And through others, through your teachings within your book, be happy no matter what. I mean, that is a killer title. I mean, it's so powerful because it's about truly that we have a choice how we choose to conceptualize the events in our lives, as you just spoke about in this very poetic way, which I love, around, you know, seeing our lives as a great masterpiece, you know, or a beautiful tapestry. When we come back, we will speak with Ellen more about the book. I want to learn more about your book, and I'm fascinated by the 5 steps. Stay with us. We'll be back.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
The 7 steps of grief and hope can be found at therespite.org on the Hope Is Now page. This is a video series that I had the honor and privilege of co-creating with my dear friend and colleague, Chris Saadi. This model, the model of heart-centered grief, is designed in 7 coaching sessions where you can stream or watch the DVD videos where Chris and I are coaching you through these incredibly powerful 7 steps to give you hope, and their practical ideas, creative ideas to help you move through your grief journey in an inspired way, in a way with great dignity, and to support you through this difficult time in your life. Whatever your loss is, friend, the model of heart-centered grief is designed to empower you and encourage you on your journey.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Berg, and I am speaking with Ellen Siegel today, and we have been talking about her powerful life story and how she's been conceptualizing her own story and how it informs her work in the world. And we're beginning to speak about Ellen's book, Be Happy No Matter What. And I want you all to know that you can find Ellen's book on Amazon, and that it is now offered and available on Amazon in audio, which that is super cool and really mm-hmm. exciting. You've got to be so proud. I think it's wonderful.
Feels great. Yeah.
So I want to know about these also in this segment. I want to make sure we get to speaking about the 5 steps.
Okay. Great. Just before I go there, I just want to say that I had the wonderful opportunity to hear the audios in the Heart-Centered Grief program. And the idea of honoring your full story, really
ennobling all aspects of the story, including the wounds. Mm-hmm. And I know it's hard to think that there's beauty, but there's beauty. There's beauty in every aspect of us.
Yeah.
So I think that
thank you.
That.
I'm honored that you reviewed the model of heart-centered grief. It's such a powerful 7-step process that Chris and I had the honor to co-create. And for those of you that aren't aware, you can find the model of heart-centered grief at therespite.org. It is a 7-step process where Chris and I have actual video recordings you can download and review and stream or purchase a hard copy as we guide you and coach you, looking at the camera as though we're there with you through these 7 steps. And it's a really special program, and I really appreciate your words, Ellen. Thank you so much.
And healing, the two of you. The healing energy that comes through the video. There's no words for that. There's no price anyone can pay for that. And it's really extraordinary.
Well, thank you so much. And my hope is that it will bust out into the universe and millions of people will be blessed by that series, because I know there's nothing quite like that out there. So thank you so much. So
you're
tell
welcome.
Us about your five
okay.
about the 5 steps.
Okay. I also want to mention that the audio is really takes you through it where you can be very relaxed. I mean, the book also, but so it starts with a new kind of preparation, I call it, which is shows you how to relax. So the book starts with a new kind of preparation, it's called, and there's short sections on, it just invites you to relax. And the words used in the book really bring that experience about. And opening to allow new thoughts to come in, and how to easily move forward, setting your own pace. Which is very important in general, and certainly one of the things you discuss in your program, that grief, we all deal with it in different ways, in different measures, at different points. So your own pace is important. And the 5 steps. So the first one, and you may even know some of this, but there's new twists on it, which is centering in myself, and that each person is their own center. And this doesn't prevent you from doing any work in the world or service, but it's nice to know that your consciousness is centered in you.
Mm-hmm.
And the second step is appreciating me and my life as a work of art. And I would add as a masterpiece work of art.
Oh, yes.
And the tagline there is portrait and landscape.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right? So it takes in all your characteristics and all the places that your life flows into. The next one, step 3, is hearing my inner wisdom. And there is no need to look elsewhere. And it talks about how your own inner wisdom has been talking to you for years, and all the different ways we've made different choices and maybe have heard that in the background, or it keeps knocking at the door. And the next step is honoring myself, which is following my inner inclinations. So it's really allowing that inner voice to be heard, and then to move ahead by honoring it.
Wow.
And all the different ways. And there's different new thoughts, and instead of exercises, which I didn't want to call them exercises, it says it's an invitation to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's called. So there's different ways to think and play with your thoughts. Step 5 is caring for myself, the old ways and the new ways. And this talks about as you awaken to really appreciate yourself, there's a shift in the ways that you take care of yourself. You can continue to take care of yourself in the old or previous external ways, and those are wonderful, how you spend your time, how you care for your body, food that you put in your body, relationships, the kind of people that you help and are helped by. And then there's the caring for myself on the inside, which is a gentleness. Mm-hmm. And then the last two chapters actually are situations in my life. One is the new me debuts in relationships, how I'm different and how I'm the same once you go through the five steps. Mm-hmm. And then the new me faces life's challenges, and that's an adventure in how I'm different going forward. And I really do stick to the steps as I use these examples to illustrate the steps, but it's very personal. And I'm just thinking if there's anything else in here. The other thing about the book is the way it's laid out. It's very spacious with a lot of room, that just the even looking at it invites a feeling of openness and relaxation.
So you've even designed the book to invite that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I think is so powerful about your stuff is you're providing people a guide, you know, something to respond to. And I love the language of the old ways and the new ways. And really, as someone that's fascinated by personal growth and, wanting to take my leadership and manifest my gifts to the edge of my being, to really make sure, as Irma Bombeck said, that I'm all used up before I die. I know I'm always looking for new tools. And this idea of being happy no matter what is such a powerful idea. And even for those of you that are listening to Finding Hope who haven't had a profound loss, but feel like you're just in the gray days of middle age, you're kind of blah. This is an opportunity to help you wake up your spirit, because these five steps are about helping you discover your own authenticity or reconnect with what you know about your authentic being. So bringing your wisdom, I just love how you have put together, in chapter 7, the new me faces life's challenging situations, an adventure in how I'm different. Giving yourself permission to evolve and to grow. And so there's these steps to me are very empowering around what your story is about, which is trusting. I mean, your story is about many things, but one aspect of it that's so powerful is about trusting your own authenticity.
Yes, yes. I would say that really is the main, I think all aspects sort of lead to that or invite that. The other thing is that throughout the book there's phrases like, here's one, I wonder about seeing the scenes of my life in new ways and the benefits I will feel as a result.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's dotted with different thoughts. I set the intention to access the treasures of my inner wisdom today.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
inner wisdom today.
Mm-hmm.
Giving yourself and the reader and all of us the permission to evolve. You know, I know for me today, I just last week turned 49 years old. And I know why there are aspects of me that will always be the same, personality aspects that are not going to shift. I also know that there's so much about me and my life I don't even recognize today. And that's cool. You know, that's pretty thrilling. I mean, giving ourselves, the more I give myself permission to live authentically and to go after the real desires of my heart, the ones that are true, it's scary. It shakes our lives up. It does bring us loss, but it brings us so much freedom and deep, profound joy. And that's mm-hmm. also what your book is about. About the deep, profound joy. When we come back, Ellen and I are going to speak about step 7 of the model of heart-centered grief, which is celebration, and how that step, Ellen said, just fits so beautifully with her work. And that's the one we're going to talk with you all about, that no matter what's happening in your life, learning to be happy and bring celebration will be so empowering for you. Stay with us, friends. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Counselor Mandy would like to offer you a free gift. As you've heard on her show, Finding Hope, she and Chris Saadi co-created the 7 Steps of Grief and Hope. She would like for you to have a free recording that includes an introduction to the 7 Steps and takes a deep dive into Step 4, Paradox. In this recording, Chris and Mandy talk about how important it is to honor the grief journey. After listening to this recording, you will understand the importance of viewing your grief paradoxically, feel supported that you're not alone, and be inspired about how your grief can help others. To download this free recording, visit therespite.org. Just scroll down on the homepage to where it says, hear about the transformational 7 steps of grief and hope, and click the Get Access button. It's that easy. Mandy's passion in life is helping people see that the losses in their life have meaning. We hope you'll accept this free gift from her. Again, visit therespite.org to get your free recording.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Bird, and I'm having the privilege to speak with Ellen Siegel today. We've been speaking about Ellen's story and about her book, Be Happy No Matter What, which is available on Amazon. And I know there's some things you wanted to share so our listening friends know more about how they can access your work. Will you share that with us?
Oh, sure. When you go to the Be Happy No Matter What website, there's an opportunity to sign up for daily thoughts, really to contemplate. So when I, like I said, I love the idea of just sitting with a thought. No thinking is involved, and you can feel the energy of it. One such one is, it might be appreciating me, all aspects of me. So that's a sample. And there's a sheet, I'm not seeing it right now, on either 10 steps to happiness, or usually there's some kind of a guide sheet also that's available. And so that would be great. And then, of course, there's meditation CDs and other kinds of
things.
That's
wonderful. Will you say your website again?
Yes, www.behappy.com. No matter what.com.
Well, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, so I want to introduce celebration, step seven of the model of heart-centered grief, which we also call the seven steps of grief and hope. Celebration, the way Chris and I are presenting this powerful step, is about no matter what is happening in our lives, just like Ellen's work, that we have, and we're very powerful, it's a very powerful position to take, that we have a responsibility to celebrate. And that is a really huge, big, earth-shattering idea sometimes when we are experiencing profound loss. So I always say that when I'm working with clients one-on-one, and whether I'm working with someone on the phone or Skype or personally one-on-one in my office, I don't say to them the moment they walk in the door after they've experienced a tragedy, okay, and now it's time to celebrate. I mean, you know, we're not being insensitive buffoons. However, it is so empowering when we learn to find the great dignity in our stories, the power of how strong our spirits are, the tenacity of who we are, and what and how life has even, as you said at the beginning of our interview today, how life has even loves us through the great losses in our lives, and how celebration and having a perspective of celebration is not in any way minimizing our suffering or our grief. I would have nothing to do with it if it did, because I am a great torch carrier around our right to grieve and the importance of grief and not allowing shame around grief and doing what we can to debunk the myth that it's wrong to grieve. However, what I have found about celebration is, the incredible, powerful joy and warmth and, strength that celebrating brings, even at some of our darkest times in our lives, mostly at the darkest times in our lives, what the richness that that brings to our lives. So I'm going to stop talking because I'm so excited about this step. And I'd love to hear your wisdom, Ellen, around this step of celebration.
Well, I can tell you that when you go through loss, that you can discover many, many things about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether it's strength or whether it's a depth of feeling or how much you valued your relationship with the person who's moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I'm about, you know, like your passion about the right to grieve, mine is about finding and celebrating all aspects of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't stop. And in fact, I mean, it's enhanced, you know, during rough times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know when I look back in my life, the things that I learned through those times. And sometimes it's, I know a lot of people I work with are not that used to receiving support, receiving help, even receiving attention.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not that comfortable. And it's a very important part of life because it allows you to experience more of life when you're taking it all in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's another aspect.
I love what you're saying about, and it's so true that, and it's another reason why I'm a defender of the right to grieve, if you will, is that those are the times, as you were saying, we learn profound aspects of our authenticity when we are moving through grief. I mean, we really have this experience of getting in embodying in a deep way, whoa, this is what matters to me in the world. This is what I really care about. This is what I'm made up of. People time and time again report that it was through their great losses that they've met their own spirits. And that, while pain, I mean, I don't want to grieve. I mean, I'm a great defender of grief, but I don't want to grieve. It hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not fun. It hurts like crazy. And it is such an amazing teacher, such a beautiful also angel in our lives if we allow it to be so. And I think that this I really resonate with being a great defender, or as your, you know, mouthpiece around authenticity and how important that is, and that we're always learning through our losses and through our experiences about our own authenticity, and that there's so much to celebrate in our own unique idiosyncratic spirits.
And one of the things that you mentioned in step seven, well, there were a couple of things. One is loving life. Loving life in spite of
its
tragedies. And then for those who feel a spiritual connection, it's a very quiet, still place in our relationship with the divine. And, you know, that's, you know, for those of us who can experience that, that flame is inside of us no matter what.
That is something incredible to celebrate. I mean, it takes great courage. I mean, I just think about some of, the stories of human beings around the world throughout time, throughout history. You know, one of the individuals that I admire so much, as do many people around the world, of course, is Nelson Mandela. And what this man went through in his life, I mean, what a big story, what a powerful spirit, what an unbelievable journey. And the gusto around loving life, you know, the laughter, not giving up hope. I think an important aspect of helping us learn to celebrate is to learn about people that we admire. I think doing research around individuals throughout time and history that touch your hearts is a very empowering way to encourage yourself to celebrate. Because what I find in studying leaders and learning about leaders is that these are people that love life, that deeply love life.
I think I got that somehow from my parents when I was young. And I dare say that that's really what echoes through the work that I've been able to participate in. And to be able to see through, and it's much easier to do when you're looking at someone else, that you can see when they're not seeing what's so great about them, or they're feeling bad about themselves. And you can see their strengths and the beauty. And to be able to do that for ourselves, one of the things that it might not seem easy to do, but a person would need to adopt, to consider the thought, a wound as a blessing. Just to be open that that's a possibility opens the door to really having the treasures of it unfold. And whether it's teachings or one's life's work, I mean, I've had this with a lot of clients who are very sorrowful about their lives. And when we talk about that, really they're gathering information, because people are likely going to come along to meet them who really need the information and the compassion, the compassion for what they're experiencing. And
you know.
So ennobling our wounds. You know, mm-hmm, seeing, mm-hmm. I mean, I use these words a lot, the majesty and the dignity of our wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And how they inform and create us and gift us into who we are, inform our authentic
mm-hmm.
spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what you're doing for your clients around empowering them in their authenticity. And it is the title of your book and your website, Be Happy No Matter What, it's excellent. It's around inviting, no matter what has gone on in our lives, that we have the right, the ability, and the capacity, that we have to say no to victimization and say yes to how incredible our individual spirits are, and that often we need support and help to do that. So if you're struggling in loving your own spirit and shifting your grief and moving through your grief, you can reach out to Ellen through her site mm-hmm. to Be Happy No Matter What. You can find me at therespite.org. I do Skype sessions and transformational grief coaching. So know that we are available to help you.
Mm-hmm.
The model of Heart Centered Grief is found at therespite.org. Ellen, thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing your beautiful story in such a real and raw way. Thank you for that. And also, I want to say thank you for the work that you're doing in the world. It was a joy to speak with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be in this world with you and to do this work together.
Take great care. You all be with us again next week on Finding Hope. See you then. Bye-bye.
Look ahead.